What is the role of the Board of Scientific Counselors, and how many people were let go from the board?
The Board of Scientific Counselors had 18 members who advise the EPA's Office of Research and Development on its research strategy. So basically, the Office of Research and Development employs EPA scientists who are conducting scientific research toward the mission of the agency on issues related to air quality, drinking water, and a variety of other issues. This board reviews their scientific outputs and provides feedback and recommendations on future direction. 9 members of the board were coming close to the end of their first 3-year term and were eligible for a reappointment to a second 3-year term. And all 9, including me, were not renewed. This was a surprise in part because when we met as a board in January, we were told that the paperwork to submit a request for our renewal was already in process. So we assumed that we would be renewed. So it was quite a surprise to receive this late on Friday of last week.
What was the position like for you? How involved is the Board of Scientific Counselors with the decisions made by the EPA? And how many hired scientists are there whose work gets reviewed by the board?
The Office of Research and Development employs more than 1,200 scientists across 6 research programs and I believe 7 national research laboratories. So it's an extensive operation. The Board of Scientific Counselors, in addition to its 18 members of the executive committee, also includes dozens of members of subcommittees who are also scientists that provide feedback on specific research programs related to their subcommittees. I will say that the activities of the Board of Scientific Counselors are purely related to advising on scientific research. There have been some quotes in the media that suggest that this board has some influence on regulations. EPA, of course, does regulate emissions of air pollutants and water pollutants. But this board and the Office of Research and Development don't have a specific role in advising or even considering regulations. With that said, when we have met as an executive committee and in subcommittee meetings, the researchers and administrators from the EPA have told us that our input and feedback is extremely valuable, that they take it seriously into consideration when developing and designing the direction of future research. So I believe this is important work. It has meant a great deal to me. It has been one of the most intellectually stimulating activities of my career. So I'm disappointed that I won't be reappointed, and it certainly gives me some concern about how seriously the role of science is being taken in the Environmental Protection Agency in this administration.
And Dr. Robert Richardson, you mentioned that 9 people were up for review on their 3-year terms, and you can have up to 2. I read that another 3 people completed their 2 terms, so they will be leaving the board, which leaves 6 people left on this board of 18 who are staying on. What was unique about them that is allowing them to stay on?
Nothing insofar as that their terms had not expired yet. The appointments are in a kind of staggering timeline so that everyone doesn't roll off the board at the same time. It was assumed that the 9 of us would be reappointed so that we would have only been losing the 3 who had served their maximum of 2 3-year terms. So this reduces the size of the board dramatically to a shadow of its former self.
An
EPA spokesman has indicated they do intend to fill these seats primarily with representatives from industry, which is of concern. But there hasn't really, you know, in the last week, there hasn't been any action in terms of how they plan to fill these seats or even if there's a call for nominations yet.
But it is a full 2/3 of the board leaving quite suddenly. Were there any justifications given for why the positions were not renewed? Any reasons you can see?
In the notification that I received, it simply stated that, you know, I was notified that my 3-year term was coming to an end and that the EPA had submitted a request for my reappointment. However, the office had been informed that my appointment would not be renewed and the agency would carry out a nomination process to solicit new members. So that was the only justification that was given, except the fact that they wanted to replace us with new members. Since it's been reported in the media, there have been statements from the EPA spokesman to suggest that they wanted a clean break from the Obama administration. This is a mischaracterization of the board. Some members have served under previous administrations. This is a non-political appointment. We're independent scientists not associated with any particular administration. So it was a fairly political statement, I believe, to suggest that this decision was motivated by a desire to make a clean break with the Obama administration. There were also statements that suggested that they wanted to fill these seats with people who have a greater understanding of the impact of regulations on the regulated community. And again, this board has nothing to do with regulations. So the statements from the agency have really represented a fundamental misunderstanding of the role of the board and lead us to conclude only that the decision was entirely political in nature.
Have you personally met the new EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt?
I have not met Mr. Pruitt.
He openly refutes carbon's role in climate change. What do you, as somebody who sat on that board, have to say to those who are skeptical about the human role in climate change?
I actually reject the word skeptical. I don't think that, given where the scientific conclusions have come, that there is any room for additional skepticism about what the climate data and projections reveal. The more appropriate word is denial. The facts are there, and there is an overwhelming consensus among practicing climate scientists that human activities, particularly the emission of greenhouse gases, is a driving force in what we now know as climate change and its related effects, such as rising sea levels and so forth. There's no room for skepticism anymore, and I can only interpret the actions of this administrator of the EPA as being in denial of facts and science, presumably because if we can postpone climate policy and action, someone's going to benefit in the near term. But in the long term, our country and our global human society will suffer because of this. We now know much more than we did when it was appropriate to be skeptical 20 years ago. Not now.
Are there any other major changes that you saw in the function of the EPA since Pruitt became the new administrator?
Yes, in part from the president himself. There were two executive orders that were certainly of great concern to me, the first being the executive order that would dismantle the Clean Power Plan. This was an EPA initiative that was implemented under the Obama administration that would have limited the emission of carbon dioxide from power plants. That now has been dismantled by an executive order from the president. And then a terrible decision to rescind the so-called waters of the United States rule that would have protected water quality from pollution, primarily from coal mining activities. Those two executive orders that will be implemented by the EPA are dangerous, and they threaten public health and environmental quality.
Good luck with all your research. There's some amazing highlights, work in East Africa, Central America, Southeast Asia. And thank you so much for supporting Katie and Kay, you and your pets.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, and it's a pleasure to be a supporter of Katie and Kay. I'm a big fan.